Now, over the last 20-odd years, he's been an inspiration. He is a world-renowned author, pastor, worship leader, songwriter, and now a guest in a South African radio studio. Louis Giglio, welcome to Radio Tigerberg 104 FM.
Yeah, thanks for having me today. It's a treat to be on.
It's awesome to have you in studio. Now, Louis, you've been in youth ministry now for close to 20-odd years, 22 years. Where did it all start for you? What sparked your love for youth ministry?
Well, really, we've been specifically in a zone of reaching out to 18 to 25-year-olds, so that university moment. It started off for me, just the Lord opened a door, honestly, for me to do a summer college internship at a church in Houston, Texas. Didn't see college on the radar. I went that one summer, and the rest was history. Did 10 years on a college campus, then passion was born, and passion gathers 18 to 25s, university age young people, to see them live for what matters most. And like most great stories, I didn't see it coming. God just opened a door, but that's the place you want to be, that crossroads, that university moment where a lot of decisions are made that set the course for the rest of our lives. That's where you want to be standing, pointing people to Jesus.
It's an amazing movement that you've started, because in 1997, the very first one, close to 2000 young people showed up. And then in 2000, something just miraculously happened, the one-day event, 40-odd thousand young people coming to know the Lord. I remember vividly those videos that came out in that time, with people walking down this mountain, what kind of valley, with a cross, planting the cross, and just people pouring onto that. It must do something as a leader at that point to say, my Lord, what have I signed up for?
Yeah, well, you know, that all the passion started with a vision, a real vision on an airplane. I just had a picture that God gave me. It ended up being that day of one day, 40,000 some odd people on their knees, on their faces, on the ground, praying for awakening in this generation. And it was so holy, so powerful. I've never been a part of anything like it before or since. We prayed for a year. We saturated the environment. It was a holy, solemn assembly. And during one of the songs, we had a massive cross come in, like 10-footer, weighed hundreds of pounds. We set it in front of the stage, and kids started running from the back, several hundred meters, and just throwing themselves down. And then they took it out of the ground and started passing it over their heads all over this field, all spontaneous. And people just, and it wasn't like a relic, you know, but people just sensed the power, the forgiveness, the mercy of God. And that day spawned a lot of the rest of passion, but honestly, there's never been a day before or a day since like it.
You've always been, I've said this, in my father's generation, there was guys, we would call them Billy Graham and Rainer Bonke. They were the voices of a generation. In my generation, Louis Giglio is standing out head above water in anything that is done in the spiritual realm, because you've found a way to really draw the young, inquiring heart closer to Jesus. The 268 generation was born and birthed, and it spread like a wildfire. For those who don't know, what is the 268 generation?
Yeah, so when we started Passion, you couldn't Google Passion online. That was a bad idea.
it's still a bad idea.
And it's probably still a bad idea. So our website couldn't be passionsomething.com.
Yeah.
And our heartbeat was the glory of God. And the text that became our core was Isaiah 26:8. The last phrase says, "For your name and your renown are the desire of our souls." And that's what we are about, have been, are, and will be about. Simply, it means live for the thing that matters most. And the thing that matters most is God's glory. So we, instead of making it passion.com, it was 268generation.com, Isaiah 268, living for your name and renown. That generation is who we are, still are. I think you can go to passionconferences.com now, and we've algorithmed ourselves up to the top of the Google search. But the 268 generation, the 268 generation is still the heartbeat of who we are. A lot of people have a different verse every year for their deal. We're still trying to chew on the one we've got. I want to live not for me, but I want all of me to live for all of him.
We can't talk about passion, about Louis Giglio, without talking about the music. And you've surrounded yourself with brilliant guys, guys like Chris Tomlin, Matt Redman, David Crowder, Christian Stanford. There's a couple that slipped my mind now. Christy Knuckles, I remember her singing pregnant on stage and just worshiping, tears running down her face. And how do you balance the act of getting such world-class musicians to buy into this dream, to say, listen, it's not about you, it's not about your music, it's about God's glory, God's renown, and this is what you bring. And the evidence of that is world fame in a big way. How do you balance that?
That's a tricky thing for all of us to balance. And I think, you know, we were all friends coming into Passion, and we believed in the movement together. Mm. And some people have come and gone. Some of the people you just mentioned aren't really at the core of Passion on a day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year basis anymore. But it really is where the rubber meets the road, honestly, for all of us. If it's all about Jesus and it's all about his glory and his fame, then it's all about Jesus and it's all about his glory and his fame. And we pray all the time at the end of an event. I hope people don't walk away and talk about a name of a person or even about Passion. Sure. We will not have succeeded unless people walk away and said, I saw Jesus like I've never seen him before. And that's really what it's all about.
I'm thinking of some of the songs that I've come to know with a passion. But if I take you back to being in full-time ministry now, in church ministry with Passion City Church, and that's in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
You've been there for 10 years, and now for 22 years, you've been the leader of a movement. What are some of the biggest lessons learned in that process of walking in front and leading people closer to experiencing Jesus?
Yeah, I think the big lesson in all of it is you just have to make sure it's a calling. Mm. It's hard to cut the wake, and it's really hard to keep casting vision. You know, I always say vision has a short shelf life, and every parent knows that.
Yes.
Because they don't tell their kids something once, and then 2 weeks later, they go, oh, Mom, I remember what you said 2 weeks ago. Yeah. No, you tell them every day, many times a day, this is what we do in our family. This is how our family lives. This is how our family acts. This is how our family talks. And that's the same in leading a church or a business or an organization or a movement. You have to cast vision every single day. Mm. And I believe to cast vision every single day, you have to be called. Sure. Moses never forgot that burning bush. Yeah. He never forgot the magnitude of God's calling on his life. He didn't get it all right every time, and none of us do.
Yeah.
But that significance of calling, and I think for me, it hasn't been easy. We're doing the biggest event we've ever done in 70 days from right now in the premier football stadium in America, in our city in Atlanta. And it is like climbing Mount Everest with flip-flops on.
Wow.
Or whatever you call them in South Africa.
We call them pluckies, but
I knew that wasn't the right phrase. But
it's better than the Australian version.
Yes, it is. I was saying, I hope it's not that.
No, it's not. So, Louis, I want to play a song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Forsaken a little bit. I remember spending a minute with you many years ago, and you won't remember this. I was in a crowd with probably a couple of hundred young youth leaders up in Gallagher State in Midrand, probably 2006, if I'm not mistaken, and the fruitcakes and ice cream story came out, and that was the drive of Passion at that time. And I remember it so vividly, that just sitting in that environment and the way that you just connected and shared your heart. You've never been one for the limelight, to say, look at me. You've always been the one to say, listen, I've got this thing and I need to impart. And if I cannot stay silent, I just need to give it. What has been your greatest joy in ministry?
I think for me, it's just honestly knowing God. Ministry is a bonus. It is a add-on bonus to having a relationship with the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. We somehow lost the wonder of the fact that the one who created the stars knows us and invites us to walk beside him every day.
Wow.
And I think for me, you try not to think about all the ripples and the dominoes. I met a girl this morning who told me the exact phrase out of Indescribable Message that changed her from being an atheist to someone who wanted to know God. Yeah. And now here she's serving God in full-time ministry. Yeah. 13 years old, don't believe in God. One line out of one video changed her story, changed her destiny. You try not to think about that. You know, she shared that story with me, and I didn't walk out and go, man, I am a big deal. Wow. Yeah. I just walked out and went, man, what kind of life are we living?
Yeah.
That we get to walk with God. Sure. Isn't it amazing?
It is an absolute privilege to be able to be in service and ministry of our Creator, our God. And I think sometimes we forget that He's placed such a mantle on our lives that if we take it for granted, it could be gone in such a quick moment. But we're going to come back, and this song has probably been one of the anthems of many a generation. And this is The God of the City by Chris Tomlin. It's from the Passion album.
It was a tough season for us, and my dad and I had some common ground in life, but none around Jesus. My dad really wasn't a follower of Jesus in the sense that I am of a daily relationship with God and pursuing knowing God. And the awkward part of it was when the day that I was going to announce to the church that I was going to say I feel called to preach, I invited my dad to come that night, and he didn't make it. And we never talked about it after, but a few years went by, 10, 12 years went by. My dad's disabled now. I'm back in Atlanta because I'd moved to Texas preaching for my pastor, Charles Stanley, on Father's Day for the first time ever preaching at that pulpit that he preached at all the years of my life. And I'm shaking in my boots. But my dad came that morning in his wheelchair with my mom. And so over here on the side, while I'm freaking out because I'm preaching for Charles Stanley for the first time to 3,000 people, my dad is there, and I'm freaking out because my dad's over there, and I'm preaching a message very similar to Not Forsaken, to the message that's in the book. And at the end of it, I go over, and my mom has all these people around her because she's the pillar of the church, and she hasn't been in church for years because she's taken care of my dad. People disperse. There's my dad, and I walk up, and I try to say, hey, thanks so much for coming, but I have a lump in my throat. And then he reaches his hand out, and I'll never forget it. And he had these piercing eyes and this incredible smile. And he just reaches out and takes hold of my hand, and he goes, are you kidding me, Ace?
Wow.
He said, that was the best thing I've ever heard.
Sure.
And my dad loved vocabulary. He was a great communicator. He was a great storyteller. That's where I learned a lot of my appreciation for vocabulary and storytelling. And my dad was a no-nonsense guy, so if he didn't think it was good, he'd just tell you it wasn't good. He meant it. And so, no, he didn't see passion. It was the only time my dad ever saw me preach in a church. Wow. One time. She died about 2 years later. And I really didn't have much of a ministry at that time. I was just getting started. But I now know every day of my life when I'm doing the thing God called me to do that my dad thinks I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, that's good, Ace.
And, you know, that's all it takes really sometimes. I know everybody doesn't get that. Everybody doesn't get a reconciliation in a moment like that. And we didn't really have a big bow. My dad died of a heart attack very suddenly. It was a crazy set of circumstances. There wasn't a really big preacher story ending to it all. In fact, it was all pretty sad and pretty tragic. But, you know, really quickly, and I know we just got 1 second, but my dad designed a Chick-fil-A logo in 1964. It's a fat, quick service restaurant all over America. So any city you go to, Chick-fil-A is there. And his logo is still on every wrapper, every napkin, every cup, every store, all over the place. And they sponsor events, stadiums and sporting events. Our biggest event we've ever done to date, 2013, in a football stadium. The night before was a big football game sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
The logo on the middle of the field. We got the stadium at midnight, put a covering on the field, built our stage in the middle, put all our stuff up. 60,000 people showed up the next day. I go to walk up on the stage, and I realize my dad's logo is going to be underneath the stage at Passion for 4 days while I lead the biggest event we've ever done. And it's not God saying, here's why your dad got sick, here's why you went through all the suffering, here's why you went through all the hardship. But it was God saying, hey, I've got a plan, and I'm in it all. You just keep trusting me. So I know my dad's proud of me, and I am proud of him.
It's an amazing story. Louis, it's a shame that we don't have enough time to continue. We have to get to news. But the book, just very quickly, in the U.S., you give this book to the prison ministry. If you want to tell people one reason why they should get this book, Forsaken, what will it do, and why is it so important to get behind this theology?
Well, the beauty is the book is not forsaken. So we try to get the idea across that God isn't going to ever forsake you no matter what your earthly father story is. You have a perfect heavenly father who is wanting to pour an extraordinary father's blessing on every single step of your life. No one will be forgotten. No one will be left behind. No one abandoned. No one forsaken.
Sure. It's awesome. Louis Giglio, thank you. It's a privilege. And we look forward to seeing you back in South Africa. You have an amazing heart for this country. And we look forward to just spending a little bit more time and many more years of brilliant sermons coming from the Giglio biography and the pen that you write. So thank you very much for all you're doing for the ministry.
Cheers, man. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.